Welcome to Countdown to Kickoff here on WAER.
Across the 10 to the 5, still on his feet, and into the end zone. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle straightaway free, sinks it. Tyus Battle is 5 for 5. The freshman is on fire.
Pass in front to Evans. Oh, what a shot and a goal. Behind the back by Jordan Evans.
Welcome back to the double overtime here on WAER.
The greatest stories from America's greatest college sports station. It's time for the best of WAER Sports Podcast.
Despite the penalties set down by the NCAA, there's no denying that Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim has led his team to over 1,000 victories. We highlight some of those wins throughout the coaching career of Jim Boeheim with WAER's Jake Marsh.
Whether the NCAA wants to recognize it or not, Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim has defeated his opponents a total of 1,000 times. The Hall of Famer's career at the helm in Central New York began in 1976. Let's take a look back at some of the most memorable victories in the Jim Boeheim era. Win 172, the shot heard around the Big East.
Fans are going wild. They want Clark to miss this shot. We're all tied up. Clark's shot is no good. Perrins with the rebound. Tie ball game. 2 seconds. 1 second. Pearl's prayer. Oh, it's good. Pearl with the prayer from midcourt. And the Orange have won this ball game. Unbelievable. The fans are going wild. They're hanging from the rim. The Orange have won this ball game in incredible fashion at the buzzer. The Pearl from midcourt. That's why they call him the Pearl.
This one was more about the iconic shot and player than the game itself. Dwayne Pearl Washington's half-court heave versus Boston College in 1984. It remains as one of the biggest moments in the Syracuse basketball program to this day. Though it was just a regular season game, this was the headlining moment that helped make the Pearl a Big East ambassador. Wins 261 and 262. Syracuse's first trip to college basketball's mountaintop under Jim Boeheim.
Desperation. Syracuse goes to the Final Four. And Syracuse will play for a national championship.
SU had made just one Final Four appearance prior to Boeheim becoming the head coach, but back in 1975, the Orange failed to reach the national championship. Syracuse beat a pair of big-time coaches during this 1987 run, taking down Dean Smith in North Carolina in the regional final and Providence in the Final Four back when Rick Pitino was in the early stages of his career on the bench. Win 482, a wild win in the Wild West.
Ball's out of screen, nothing doing. 4 on the clock, ball on top of the key, shoots a 3, no good! The Orange mid-win! They beat Kansas 60-57! Pack your bags for a Meadowlands! The Orange men are coming back east. They conquered Albuquerque. They're going to cut the Nets down in Denver. The Orange men are going to the Final Four!
Despite being a 4 seed in the 1996 NCAA tournament, Syracuse spent its entire road to the Final Four in Albuquerque and eventually Denver. The Orange men's upset over Paul Pierce in Kansas gave Coach Boeheim ticket number 2 to the sports promised land. SU would eventually beat Mississippi State in the national semifinals before falling to Kentucky in the title game. Win 653, blocked. The nation is orange.
Kicks it over, Lee, 3 in the corner, blocked by Warwick! It's blocked by Warwick! 7/10 of a second on the clock! It's all over! The Orange are national champions! They're taking the national title back to Syracuse!
This one needs no explanation. Hakeem Warwick's rejection in the final seconds of the 2003 national championship powered Syracuse to its first and only title. Carmelo Anthony led SU with 20 points in the win over the Jayhawks. Number 15 carried the Orange men with roughly 22 per game en route to Boeheim and the school's most significant accomplishment. Win 796, Marathon Men at the Garden.
3-2-1, the clock shows zeros as Syracuse has beaten UConn for the fourth straight time in the Big East tournament, 127-117, the longest game in the history of the Big East.
244 points, 226 minutes, 6 overtimes, 2 days, one we will never forget. Those are some of the numbers from the 2009 Big East Tournament quarterfinals. SU and UConn, to this day, have played the longest game in the shot clock era, and what better way to do it inside the world's most famous arena? Better yet, Boeheim and the Orange came back the very next night to beat West Virginia in the semifinals with very little time to rest, that before falling to Louisville in the conference championship. Win 916, the end of an era.
It's over! 58-55, Syracuse with the win! Revenge is a dish best served cold, and it tastes like orange for the Hoyas. Syracuse bids farewell to Georgetown with a 58-55 win, and this Big East farewell tour will end Saturday night in the championship game.
Syracuse and Georgetown's final clash as members of the Big East could not come in more of a storybook fashion. An extra period inside the Garden between Jim Boeheim and John Thompson. A symbolic way to close the chapter of one of the greatest rivalries in college basketball. As one of the founding members of the conference, the Hoyas were to stay put, but it was on to the ACC for Syracuse University. Win 985, from suspension to ascension.
It's no good! The Orange Miracle is complete! Syracuse erases a 16-point deficit and is headed to the Final Four!
Jim Boeheim was forced to sit out 9 games in the regular season for the same reason the NCAA stripped him of 101 wins in the record books. A team right on the thick of the bubble come Selection Sunday, the Orange eventually squeezed into the tournament. One miraculous run leading to the school's 6th Final Four, all capped by an astonishing comeback against Virginia. An incredible way to end the most recent season. 41 years, 5 Final Fours, and 1 national championship later, congratulations to Jim Boeheim on 1,000 career victories from all of us here at WAER Sports. I'm Jake Marsh.
We shift gears now from celebrating the coaching career of Jim Boeheim to the celebration of a life. This past year, Syracuse fans mourned the passing of Fab Mello. But as WAER's Drew Carter tells us, there was much more to the young Brazilian than simply the ups and downs he experienced at Syracuse University.
His legacy at Syracuse should have been a bright one. And he should have been a guy who could have come back to the Carrier Dome at any time and received a standing ovation. But because some adults handled his situation really poorly and maybe selfishly, he doesn't get that chance. And now he's gone, and I think that's sad.
Fab Mello spent about 6 years in the United States. In that short period of time, the Brazilian big man packed in more ups and downs than most people do in their entire lives. Sky-high expectations,
you know, you could just keep getting better and better,
met by crushing disappointment. Potential that went unfulfilled before being realized.
Penetrates and another swat by Mello. He blocked her poke from the left block. That's 10 blocks for Fab Mello.
Then wasted again. A lovable character off the floor, adored by coaches and teammates.
I like to joke all the time. I try always have fun.
Perhaps defined by red flags.
One violation is one too many.
Welcome to the abbreviated life of Fab Mello.
I really felt like he was the ultimate mystery and that his entire life was the ultimate mystery.
When Fab Mello arrived in Florida in 2008, he was an enigma, a 16-year-old kid who had been playing basketball for all of 1 year. He splashed on the recruiting scene as the top center in the class of 2010, a raw 7-footer with no ceiling. And it was that potential that caught the eye of Syracuse assistant coach Mike Hopkins.
You know, potential's a funny thing. My buddy always says a rock has potential, you know, but he, you know, he could run, he could jump. He obviously was very raw on the offensive end, but he had some really good defensive instincts.
But it was nearly impossible to learn anything about the kid. Damon Amendolara, who now works at CBS, tried to cover Fab's recruitment, but struggled to find information.
I keep going back to that he didn't speak English, so this became virtually impossible to A, know really what he was thinking, and B, trust anything out of his recruiting, because if he couldn't speak to you, everything that was happening, it was just total guesswork.
Fab ultimately committed to play for the Orange, but his freshman season was a colossal letdown. The prized recruit played less than 10 minutes per game, averaging 2 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 fouls. Mike Waters of Syracuse.com wasn't surprised by the early struggles.
Whenever anybody, you know, hits the college game and they've been overhyped, they're just set up for failure.
They're going to be labeled a bust. And I thought the hype was too much too soon for Fab.
The issues extended beyond the court. Without explanation, Melo left the team for 2 days in February. News broke that Fab was mired in a domestic violence investigation after an incident with his girlfriend.
When things were going bad, which is when he had his domestic violence situation, I think he felt under incredible scrutiny, pressure, probably isolated because he was in a different country and didn't necessarily know a lot of people, and that's when his violent streak came out.
In the offseason, the charges were dropped to a misdemeanor, and Fab remained on the team. He worked hard that summer, and by the time his sophomore year rolled around, Fab Melo was a force to be reckoned with.
Try dunk on me, I say no.
Shovels for Melo, up and under, layup goes down. Circus shot for Fab Melo.
The 2011-2012 season brought one of the best Syracuse basketball teams of all time. The Orange was so loaded that Deion Waiters and James Sutherland both came off the bench. SU opened the campaign with 20 wins in a row, and it was all anchored by the man in the middle.
I almost started to get the speed of the game. Now I think I'm starting to listen to coach. So now the players are starting to trust me to get the ball when I'm wide open. So they're passing the ball to me. So I'm glad that they're starting to do that.
Melo blocked nearly 3 shots per game and was named Big East Defensive Player of the Year. The Orange finished the season 34-3 and earned a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. But in classic Fab fashion, it was too good to be true. The NCAA suspended Melo for the Big Dance due to academic violations. Syracuse lost in the Elite Eight.
I definitely think they'd be going to the Final Four if Fab had not been suspended.
And that was the end of his time in Central New York. Melo declared for the NBA draft and was taken 22nd by the Boston Celtics. He played just 6 games in his only professional season before returning to Brazil. Fab Melo's legacy at Syracuse may be defined by the darker moments, but when you talk to people who knew him, a brighter picture begins to form.
You know, off the court, you know, I got along with him great. I thought he was a very thoughtful kid. He was very polite to the media.
Well, you know, it's a heartbreaker. You know, he was a really nice kid. He really was.
Fab was always smiling. You know, that's when someone asked me, what are you going to remember? I'm like, remember the smile. Kind of a goofy, big smile, you know, and you just saw his heart.
Fab Melo, gone at the age of 26. Drew Carter, WAER Sports.
You've been listening to the best of WAER Sports Podcast. Find a full broadcast schedule at our website, WAER.org. And follow us on Twitter at WAER Sports.